fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
If you still draft quarterbacks in round one, we're here to help.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's Tuesday, and it's feeling good. Unless you're Dez Bryant, who suffered a concussion in practice on Monday, and now he's not going to play in week three of the preseason. Welcome into Fantasy Football Today, the podcast edition. I'm Dave Richard. I'm joined by Jamie Eisenberg and Heath Cummings. Our regular host, Adam Azer, is getting an appendix put in his body today. He'll be back later this week. And something Adam wanted to talk about, but he can't because he's not here. He wants us to address it. It's Eddie Lacy. We're going to compare preseasons for Big Eddie. 2015 preseason. 5 carries for 36 yards at New England. 6 carries for 30 yards and a touchdown at Pittsburgh. Averaged 7.2 yards per carry and 5 yards per carry in those two games, and then 4 carries for 2 yards in his third preseason game. This preseason for Heavy Eddie, not so Heavy Eddie, 4 carries for 24 yards against Cleveland, 9 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown against Oakland. Averaged 6 yards per carry and 5 yards per carry in those two games, and as Adam wrote in the notes that he sent us from the hospital, he's still pretty big. By the way, Adam's not really in the hospital. So basically, considering Lacy had a very similar preseason last year to this year, are we assuming too quickly that Eddie Lacy is back? Or are we assuming that preseason stats matter and they really don't?
Yeah, I don't think it's probably a good idea to box score scout preseason games. There was quite a bit of concern going into last year about Eddie Lacy's size. Eddie Lacy looked slower last year, in my opinion. Eddie Lacy looks faster now than he did, and he's always going to look big. Like there's no world in which we look at Eddie Lacy and think, man, he's looking pretty trim out there.
I don't know what it is about him, but it's so strange.
Well, I think it's that he's big.
It looks like he's got this belly, but then you look at him from behind and he looks as skinny as, you know, a corner.
Do we know what he's wearing under his pads and his jersey?
I mean, who wears a belly protector? I mean, he might have a flak jacket.
A flak jacket, that's what I'm getting at. Do we know that he doesn't wear a flak jacket? Do we know what
he's
wearing?
We don't know for sure, no.
Is he wearing extra padding around his belly? Because,
he's stuffing some candy bars in there to munch on in the huddle.
Has he had rib injuries in the past?
They're baby back ribs and not even candy bars.
Look, if he's producing, you got to buy into it. He's in a great situation, great schedule, contract year, no serious competition for touches. If he lets you down, it's the nature of the position. This is a volatile position, and these guys, for whatever reason, sometimes don't produce. We saw it last year. We saw it the year before. We see it over the course of time. So he's in a great situation. That's all you can look at. If he fails, it's an inherent risk when you take these guys early.
And we've seen photos of him this offseason where he's clearly lost weight and he looks slim. We don't really know what he's wearing under his jersey, but he's not running like the guy that we saw last year, and that's a good thing. And that's kind of the thing that you judge preseason games for, or by, rather, is how the players look, how many snaps they get, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Eddie Lacy, to me, is a good round two fantasy running back. All right, we talked about the Dez Bryant news at the top. I don't think anybody's really worried about Dez Bryant and the concussion. It's actually a good thing that he had it now. Let him feel better. He'll miss the preseason game against Seattle. Wait a minute. He's showing concern.
I don't think it's a good thing that he had it now.
Not a good thing to ever get.
One thing we know about concussions is one concussion is bad. Multiple concussions in a short period of time is worse. If he comes back and gets a concussion week one, that week one concussion is much more worrisome now that he's had this concussion.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And we could say the same thing about John Brown, who's been out for several weeks because of a concussion. Rob Gronkowski still not practicing with the New England Patriots. He got hurt, I believe it was August 15th, and now today is August 23rd, and he's still not practicing. I don't know if that's anything to worry about either. Some positive injury news, Ezekiel Elliott. He'll play this week against Seattle. That's according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, so we'll get our first look at him in the preseason. Matt Jones, we've seen our last look at him this preseason. The big guy in Washington won't play for the rest of the preseason, and it's only been a few days since he had the AC joint sprain, but Jay Gruden is saying that he's looking real good and he's progressing real well. What a mess that backfield could end up being this year. Matt Jones, somebody that we did not bid up in our 12-team auction that we did yesterday on CBS Sports. You'll be able to see the results on CBS Sports. We'll get to that a little bit later on. I thought we'd actually start with some fill in the blank. So I'm going to read a statement. There's going to be blanks in the statement. you guys are going to fill in the blanks. And everybody listening at home, you can fill in the blanks too. Here's the first one. This one is from Brent Gebhardt. Of all the round three and round four running backs, blank is the safest, blank has the most upside, and blank has the biggest bust potential. Who wants to go first? Who's the safest of the round three and round four?
Well, here, let me give you the guys.
Sure.
So I'm looking at our draft position right now. So LeSean McCoy ends round two at 24th on the nose.
Has he been moving up, by the way?
No, he actually has moved down. But this is a lot of movement going on from the initial average draft position. So our average draft position is finally starting to settle in with a lot of drafts going on, just to make that clear. So we're cutting off McCoy, 24.
Sure.
So these are the third round guys. Third and fourth round or third round?
Third and fourth.
All right, there's only a handful. Latavius Murray at 28. C.J. Anderson at 32, Thomas Rawls at 35, Carlos Hyde at 38, Matt Forte at 40, and DeMarco Murray at 48. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, who's the safest of that group?
It's got to be Latavius, doesn't it? In terms of guaranteed volume?
I think you're right. I think Latavius is the safest.
Yeah, I would
you're
say
gonna go a different direction.
Latavius and Anderson to me are the
yeah, right. Like, it comes down to those two. Mm-hmm. I think those are the safest.
Well, which indicates where they're going. Now, Latavius of this group has the highest movement because, remember, we were getting him a little bit of a bargain.
Right.
Compared to his ADP. Or we weren't getting him as a bargain compared to his ADP. This is about the spot where you target.
So he's at 28 on our site?
Yes.
And 39 on Fantasy Pros.
Interesting. So people are taking him sooner on CBS Sports. Carlos Hyde, I think, has the most upside. Just the role in San Francisco and what we know about running backs and what they can put up and the fact that he's a third-year guy. I think that Carlos Hyde has the most upside from this group. Latavius would be I would go to Latavius and CJ as a tie for second. That's my view. I think those three have the
Rawls,
most upside.
Because if Rawls gets that full-time role and plays 16 games at 5.1 yards per carry, what he averaged last year when he had that run. If you project his run, when the six full starts he made seven actually because he got hurt in the seventh one.
Right.
His six full starts, he would have rushed for 1,899 yards and scored 11 touchdowns. So that just shows you his potential in that offense. And we're seeing Christian Michael, who I think talent for talent, those guys are probably roughly the same.
Right, sure.
And Michael's killing it. So
that's what I'm worried about.
No, my point would be is that you put Rawls in that situation right now in the preseason, Rawls would be in the top 10. If he had no ankle issue and no Christian Michael, and he's looking the same way Christian Michael's looking?
Sure, but that's not the situation.
Yeah,
I don't know
where. I look at upside. He's got the most upside by far. It's not close.
Okay, what do you think, Heath? Who has the most upside from that group?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. As you take Rawls, what he did last year, and project it on. Listen, I have not been a C.J. Anderson guy, but since the C.J. Anderson guy is not here, I think you look at the Broncos and what they have and what they're looking at starting at quarterback and possibly the best defense in the NFL, definitely one of the top three.
Opportunity is there.
If C.J. Anderson could stay healthy for 16 games and not get dinged up, then I think C.J. Anderson has upside that could rival any of these guys.
The thing about Latavius, I agree, safe, but does not have the same upside. Anderson, Rawls, and Hyde,
right.
We've yet to see 16 games out of these three for various reasons. Rawls' rookie year got hurt. Anderson, half a year,
right.
2 years ago, yep. Basically half a year last year.
Right.
And Hyde's gone 2 years without being healthy. Those three guys would not be shocked at all if you tell me, potentially, 1, 2, 3 in some order of fantasy running backs. Because, again, that's the potential that they have.
Do we all agree that Matt Forte is the biggest bust of this group?
Yeah. The fact that he's going ahead of DeMarco Murray for me, yes.
Yeah.
I would say Matt Forte.
I mean, it's not even close. Blank, this is from Michael Moncavage, at Talkative Monk. Blank running back will leave the NFL in touches. Who will be the touch leader in the National Football League this year? Anybody going away from Todd Gurley for this?
Oh, easily. He's not going to catch the ball to the level of some of these other guys.
Okay.
So, no. I'll take Zeke. And John Clayton echoed that. If he plays 16 games, there's no way he's not going to lead the NFL in touches with all the carries he's going to get.
That's a good point. What about Lamar Miller? Does he have a chance to get up there?
Would that be
surprising, given the track record in Miami and the fact that he never really had that
surprising.
Chance?
He's going to be close.
I'm going to stick with Gurley. Mm-hmm. I do think he catches the ball more. I don't know that there's a distinguishable difference between how many passes Elliott catches and how many passes Gurley catches.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about Benny Cunningham and him stepping in and possibly taking 25 catches away from the running backs in Los Angeles.
Oh, I think that's possible.
Gurley, but I still think Gurley can catch as many, maybe more. No love for Devontae Freeman last year. I believe he was up there in touches. We're not going to go that route this time. The biggest first-round bust will be, this is from at Rick700NY, the biggest first-round bust. So let Jamie, sorry about that. Could you open up the ADP magic box again and tell us who's in the top 12 or in the first round of ADP?
Antonio Brown is one.
Not a bust.
Todd Gurley is two.
I don't think he's a bust.
Nope. Odell Beckham is three.
Not a bust.
Julio Jones is four.
Not a bust.
Now we're starting to get into the guys people are worried about. David Johnson is five. Adrian Peterson is six. DeAndre Hopkins is seven. Ezekiel Elliott is eight. That's the group that's going
to You have to pick a bust from that group. Who are you picking?
Oh, Peterson.
Because of the age and workload catching up with him and Jerick McKinnon coming on board.
And to be honest, I'm glad he's fallen because he was third. Mm-hmm. So going from third to sixth, the way I approach it, I'm glad people – because I'll take him in the first round still.
Right, me too.
But I'm not taking him where he was going. I'm still nervous about taking him at this spot.
I like him early first round and non-PPR. Not PPR.
Not me.
All right, you have to pick one of those guys.
Well, I'll keep going. Cam is at nine.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah.
Le'Veon's at 10.
Okay.
Gronk is at 11. And Lamar Miller has moved into 12.
I think it has to be Le'Veon. I mean, there's you have to have concern about a guy missing the first 3 weeks of the season and then coming back and just ramping up to full activity in week four. Now, if he becomes what he was last year, then he's a great pick where he's going in the second round.
Well, but if he becomes what he was last year, then he's only playing a handful of games. But if we need him to get back on the field with that 80% consistency rate that we saw in 2014.
If you're talking about bust likelihood, I think it has to be the guy that's not going to play the first 3 weeks and then just going to try to ramp it back up and has the injury history. And as you said earlier in the summer, if D'Angelo Williams is really good, maybe they decide to split carries between those two a little bit more frequently than they did last year. Bell would be the one I would be most concerned about going the first round if we're not going to consider Cam.
No, I don't think I think Cam will be good. We can say he's overdrafted in round one. But I still think he'll be good for fantasy purposes. I'll make the argument for DeAndre Hopkins. The fact that Lamar Miller's there, we like Lamar Miller. He's going to take work away from everybody else in that offense. I think there will be some games that'll be lean for all the Texans pass catchers because Lamar Miller dominates them. And we could see it as soon as week one. And DeAndre Hopkins is going to have to share targets a little bit more than he did last year. He had almost 200 targets. I don't think he'll get there this year. He's going to have to be more efficient with Brock Osweiler as his quarterback. We know Osweiler is a work in progress. I would make the argument for him. I would put him ahead of AP.
I love when you come
and
around,
and Le'Veon.
And I'm going to say this,
but I'm still taking him ahead of AJ Green.
This won't be popular at all. But we can't act like Ezekiel Elliott in the first round has no bust potential. He's never done anything
that,
in the NFL.
That group, 5, 6, 7, and 8, that group to me is the scariest part of the first round. David Johnson.
That makes you want to draft top three.
No, I'm not afraid of these guys. I'm just saying it's a situation where if you look at the flaws for all of them. David Johnson is going to be compared to, if he falters, clearly, Jeremy Hill. Because great rookie season,
right,
and then fell on his face, still had the same workload, and was awful. And people look at David Johnson and say, he did it in such a small sample size. They bring back Chris Johnson. This is still a very pass-heavy offense, and people are afraid of that. You look at Peterson and Hopkins. We talked about those guys. You mentioned it, Heath. There has never, in the history of fantasy football, been a rookie with a first-round average draft position. Never. And we're all of a sudden anointing this guy. Yeah. I get it. I understand it. So those four guys, to me, Johnson, Peterson, Hopkins, and Elliott, you throw on Le'Veon Bell, that's five huge risks. And then people that want to stay away from Gronk, and even the people look at Lamar Miller, which I understand it, never had that heavy workload that we're all expecting to be. Will he handle it, and will he be able to sustain 16 games? So I totally get it. And even Gurley. I mean, Gurley, to me, is in the same category as David Johnson because he was great. I hope he's great again. But you know the flaws. Bad team, tough division, and sophomore running backs have burned everybody in the last couple of years.
Where's Gronk in this list, by the way?
11.
Okay, so he's still in that mix. All right, so following off of that fill-in-the-blank is this fill-in-the-blank. This is from Heights Mama 27. I'd rather have the blank pick than the first overall pick.
Three.
I think it's got to be three in PPR. I'd go six in non-PPR because I'm comfortable with those top three running backs.
Yeah.
So you're with me on six?
Yeah.
Would you go as far as to say seven? Do you feel good enough about Gronk as a first-round pick that you would take him?
I don't like being in that situation. I've drafted Gronk in that position a few times. Mm-hmm. I don't really like it.
All right, next one. This is from the Nick Morris 99. Not just any Nick Morris 99. The Nick Morris 99. Deion Lewis will be back in the Patriots starting lineup by week blank. Now, we know looks like he's going to be on the PUP list. Should be the first six games of the Patriots season. They're talking like week 7 at Pittsburgh could be the absolute earliest. Jamie, what do you think?
Wild card weekend when they're the 3 seed playing in the first round of the playoffs.
I'll go with 9.
Their bye is week 9.
So it won't
so
be that
week 10 against Seattle.
I picked
Seattle.
The only week it couldn't be.
Week 10 at home against Seattle.
Yep.
Let's see if he's back by then. I took him in the auction yesterday for a buck late, and I was desperate for talent.
I need to make a correction.
Go ahead.
I said that if you projected his receptions over 7 games last year, he would have had 98. I was looking at the wrong thing. I was including the playoffs. His final 7 games of the regular season.
This is for Deion?
James White. His final 7 games of the regular season would have been 32 catches. Project that over the season, he would have been 73.
Yeah.
So he would have tied Devontae Freeman for third. So I apologize for that incorrect stat yesterday.
Yeah. We'll talk more about those guys later on in today's show. Here's one from Baby Jigs 151. Eddie Lacy is as thick as blank's chest hair.
Adam Azer's.
I haven't seen Heath's. I'm assuming Heath's is.
I could just take my shirt off if you'd like.
Yeah, do it.
No.
Do it.
All right, do it. Go ahead.
Let's go.
Let's see what you got. Boom. Oh, shoot. He's really doing it. He's got the undershirt on today, too.
We're gonna tweet this.
Yes. Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay with
well,
this?
Well, I'll just pull it down.
Is this okay for corporate, CBS corporate? Oh, I've seen worse than that. That's not so bad. Ooh, you got a little sunburn from the cruise. I can still tell.
Yeah.
Good for you, dude. No, I've seen worse than that. We used to have a coworker named Mike Friedman, still a very good friend of ours.
Right.
That guy had some ridiculous body hair.
Well, mine's not exceptionally thick. It's just the longer hair, I think, the mane.
I'm going to go with King Kong's chest hair. Eddie Lacy looked as thick as King Kong's chest hair. All right, next one. This is from TJ Fins for Life on Twitter, who wrote as his name, Philbin is gone! !! Jamal Charles will play blank games this year. Predict the number of games Jamal Charles will play in 2016.
13.
15.
I'm going to say 14. I had that in my mind all along. So we all think that he's going to last a long time. That would certainly warrant him as a top 15 pick. From Matt Marson, the biggest fantasy surprise that will make or break your team this year will be blank.
Kristen Michael.
Okay, that's a good one.
I'm going to say the running backs in general. I'm going to go with a storyline instead of a player. I think
on a limb, Dave.
I think if you hit on your running backs, your thing will be
okay. It's a fantasy surprise,
right? The biggest fantasy prize is that running backs will be
a kicker
better.
Will be good.
The running backs
Justin
return.
Tucker.
The I running will, backs will return for sure. You know what? I will do the same thing.
Oh, now you're changing your mind.
I'm not going with a position.
Oh my god!
I'm going to say the Browns' offense
will make or break your team.
The Browns' offense.
They might break your team. But they're an interesting bunch. They are fun to think about. If they had a quarterback, we talked about this on a video yesterday, Jamie. If they had a quarterback, man, they would be something else. All right.
No. If they had a safe quarterback, because RG3 could still be good.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think the offensive line's an issue there, by the way. I know they've got Joe Thomas and Cameron Irvin.
Fantasy points per game.
Not good enough.
Okay. We're not talking about for the whole season, but just fantasy points per game started and finished. Mm-hmm. RG3 or Kirk Cousins?
That's a good question. I'm going to go Cousins.
Cousins.
I think I'd go RG3.
See, right. Cousins is one of the guys I think we're going to regret.
Really?
Not being, at least, not as a starter.
They're both very similar situations, right? Because they both have lots of pass catchers.
Well, they were
in
a similar situation last year, too. Cousins was better.
Right. Well, but one of them couldn't get on the field
because
he was behind Cousins. Right. Well. But that doesn't mean
I just saw that you actually did tweet the picture of my chest hair out to the world. So that's fantastic.
No one knows it's you.
Jamie doesn't bluff.
Oh, I'm sure everybody knows it's me.
How about this question? Let's say in an imaginary world, Kirk Cousins is the Cleveland Browns quarterback. Do you move him up higher in your rankings knowing that his pass catchers are Gordon, Coleman,
if
Pryor,
Cousins
Barnett?
Cousins is
in Cleveland, RG3
no,
is in
it would have to be better than that to
okay.
The conversation we're having. It would have to be somebody that we've seen do it year over year over year and be great.
Okay. Next one then. The late round defense to target is blank. That one's from Tyler Churchman at TChurch22.
I got this question at the event I did on Saturday, and it was, don't tell me the guys that you have ranked at the top, because I said, we just got finished talking about the Vikings and how great they could be. And I don't know if people actually realize that. I think the Raiders are going to be good. I mean, the schedule sets up nicely.
Yep.
Pass rush is always key for me. They're going to have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL with Irvin and Khalil Mack. And I think what they did in their secondary, adding Sean Smith, I think Carl Joseph will be better. So I think they're going to be good. And I also don't think they're going to be in a situation like last year where they're chasing points. So those competitive games, especially if they have 10-point lead in the first in the first three quarters and somebody's got to throw in the end, you know those guys just pin their ears back and come after a quarterback, especially with what the quarterback situation looks like in Denver. I think that's great for Oakland with those two games. You know Kansas City, if they decide to get more pass-dependent because of what their defense looks like, Alex Smith, who knows? And we've seen the Chargers' offensive line enough to know that that's not exactly a great situation.
I'm nervous, especially starting the Raiders in week one at New Orleans. I don't know if I can get over that. So if I'm drafting them, it's to put them in my lineup week one. And then they've got Atlanta at home. That's better. At Tennessee is better. At Baltimore is definitely better. How about the Packers, who've looked pretty good for most of the preseason?
Those are ones that are ranked.
Pass rush.
Go toward.
Where do you have the Packers ranked? You have them 13th. I've got them 14th. I should probably move them up. And Heath looks like you've got them at 14 too. Maybe they should be higher. Jacksonville in week one is going to be difficult for them, I think. If Blake Bortles falls apart.
Not when he's throwing off his back foot and getting lucky touchdowns like that. That was an ugly throw that he got lucky with.
I don't think it was that bad game.
At Lambeau?
The Hearns touchdown?
Yeah.
I don't think that was lucky at all.
Throw off your back foot 9 times out of 10, and you see what happens in an NFL game.
Well, he still managed to do it. He's a professional. At San Diego.
Against that Tampa Bay secondary.
At Minnesota in week two, Detroit in week three, and then a bye in week four. The Tampa Bay secondary was good the week before.
They're great.
The pass went right over Brent Grimes and into Hearn's hands. It was a good throw.
Ask any NFL evaluator if you want to see your quarterback throw off their back foot.
No, of course you don't want to see.
So that was an ugly, lucky throw that he made, and he got lucky with it.
I would say the throw to Allen Robinson two plays earlier.
No, Robinson made a great play to save it. Exactly. That's why he's not a great quarterback. Right. He's very inconsistent.
Listen, I'm not arguing that. I think he's got great receivers around him, and that'll help him. We're getting off track. Is there any other DST that you would recommend late in a draft to begin the season with?
All of them. Wait until late in the draft.
What about the Eagles or the Browns? They play each other in week one. Just to get you off and running, do either of those DSTs give you any type of appeal? Philly's at home for the game against the Browns.
No.
Would you ever take a chance on Philadelphia's DST against the Browns?
No.
Without Josh Gordon?
No.
Okay, got it. This is from Matt Harrison, 51. The undrafted running back on most fantasy championship teams this year will be blank. The guy that replaces one of the starting running backs that was on every fantasy team.
There are two that I've seen that sometimes get drafted, sometimes don't. It's Chris Johnson and Tim Hightower, just because the offenses that they play in, and we've seen them last year play well when given an opportunity. James Starks. I mean, he doesn't get drafted.
How about Bilal Powell? Not that he's undrafted, but I don't know if he's getting drafted in every single league. I'm thinking about running backs that have some injury concern. So Forte is one of those.
Jonathan Williams.
He gets drafted.
Jonathan Williams in Buffalo?
He's going to be.
They're talking like Gillislee is going to be the backup.
Yeah, Williams will be inactive for the first 4 weeks, and then McCoy gets hurt, and Williams comes in.
Could be Alex Collins.
How about Wendell Smallwood in Philadelphia?
He could be it. Paul Perkins, too. Wouldn't be surprised if he's another one. I just had one in my head.
Alfred Morris. If it happens to Zeke, he'll get drafted.
What was I just thinking of? Forget. Never mind.
Okay.
Zach Zenner.
That's a fun one. Let's go on to one from at Beer and Coffee. If I put Dave, Heath, and Jamie into my forerunner, it is now called the blank runner.
Cool runnings.
Score runner. Stud runner. Pizza runner. Okay, well, I guess we didn't end fill in the blank on a very fun note, but we tried. So sue me, Adam. Sue me. I know he's listening. And you know what I love? I love food. And everybody knows that I love food. Hopefully you also love food. Maybe you'll listen to a food recommendation because I'm giving you one right now. It's from Blue Apron. You have to try Blue Apron. You get 3 free meals at blueapron.com/FFT. That's blueapron.com/FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. And so what is this Blue Apron? You're getting food sent to your house? Yeah. It's incredible ingredients, easy to prepare. Everything tastes amazing. Instructions for you. Even an idiot like Adam can do it. And it's all for less than $10 a meal. They send it all right to your door. They give you the instructions on how to cook the meals. And then you'll love the finished product. It actually tastes really good. And it's made with the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers. Artisanal suppliers. I don't care what their suppliers are. I'm sure they're great.
Their suppliers are
great. They've got family-run farms. They've got fisheries. They've got ranchers. Look, Blue Apron knows what they're doing. And you're in a rush to try and get a meal on the table. They will set you up. You want Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, empanadas, chicken piccata. Ramen or ramen?
Ramen.
I've been calling them ramen noodles for all these years.
Everybody loves ramen, buddy.
The Baltimore Ramens. All right. Ramen noodles. That's what they're called? Are you sure?
Yes.
You're not stooging me here?
It's definitely ramen noodles.
I'm going to ask Blue Apron what they're called. These are some of the amazing meals you can get on Blue Apron. So check out this week's menu and get your two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFT. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Let's go over some injuries, news, and notes before we talk about our auction results and some interesting pointers from there. And while we talk about the auction, I know not everybody who's in a fantasy football draft does auction, so we'll talk a little bit about the players too, so you can apply it to your snake drafts. Although I would like to say that auctions are awesome and you should always do them and you should never do a snake draft again. All right, Denver. Trevor Siemian. Did I say his last name right? Raymond. Trevor Siemian will start for the Broncos on Saturday against the L.A. Rams. This is his second straight start in a row. Would you feel better about the Broncos wide receivers if Trevor Siemian was their starter?
No.
No.
Would you feel better about the Broncos wide receivers if Mark Sanchez was the starter?
No.
No.
Would you feel better about the Broncos wide receivers if Paxton Lynch was the starter?
No.
No.
I'd feel a little bit better. I like Lynch a little bit better, and I think that he could grow into the role. I like his mobility, and I like his deep arm. So I will say yes to that. Would you feel better about the Broncos receivers if John Elway was the starting quarterback?
No.
You guys are no fun. Colts cornerback Vontae Davis is going to miss at least the first month of the season. That's according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, and the Colts signed Antonio Cromartie to fill in for him. And so we'll see what happens there. Yeah. By the way, the Colts play the Lions at home in week one. That's a nice win for all that pass-catching loveliness in Detroit. The Chargers' offensive line looked great for a while, but now DJ Fluker is wearing a walking boot. Who knows what his status is? I believe he's due for an MRI, so that line is already starting to deteriorate. And we already talked about Mike Gillisley, probably Buffalo's number two running back. That's according to Rex Ryan. Does anybody here want to draft Mike Gillisley with a late pick?
Deep league, yeah, sure.
How many rounds is the draft?
15.
Probably not.
16? 17?
I'm thinking 18.
18 rounds? Mike Gillisley is worth an 18th round pick to you? Okay.
Well, he's worth a 16th, but I got to get my kicker in defense in 17th and 18th.
All right, so before we get into auctions, one more time. It is Tuesday, so we might as well run through some team names for Team Name Tuesday. You can always tweet us your team names. Adam's Twitter is at Adam Azer. Just send them to him. Don't send it to us. And always email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, cbsi.com. Here's one from Justin Rolfe. Eddie Royale with cheese.
Sure.
I pronounced his name wrong on purpose this time because we're doing the Royale with cheese thing. From Blake. Toyota Gore Runner.
Hmm.
From King Chang. I think I'm going to barf.
Yeah.
Or deck the halls with Tamba Holly.
No.
I think that's kind of
fun. I expect that one, yeah.
Max from a city in Belgium. A for Eifert.
Yes.
From Chad, Oscar Mayer Fleener.
Very, very good.
Ramen noodles. They're called ramen noodles. From Zach in Hayward, California. Dude, you're getting Odell. That's from the old Dude, You're Getting Odell commercials. That guy got busted for something. Last one from at Bet Bully. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Dun, 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 dun. So these weren't good. What was your favorite one?
Oscar Mayer Fleener.
I liked that one, was good. I liked A for Eifert, and I thought Decker the Halls with Tamba Holly was also very
good. That was good.
All right. The auction. We did a 12-man, $100 budget, non-PPR auction draft. And the way it works, we did it on CBSSports.com. It's super easy to do. If you've been drafting on CBSSports.com for years and you want to go to an auction, you just click a little button in the commissioner tools and you get an auction. It's all taken care of for you, the budgeting, how much every max bid can be. Everybody takes turns nominating players, and then those players go up for bid. Anybody in the auction can win any player at any time. So you can build a whole roster early if you want to, and then you have a few bucks left to spend on stragglers later, or you can be patient, see what the market is set for some players, and then start spending. And two people in this podcast did each of those strategies, or one person did each of those strategies, or whatever I'm saying. All right, strategies, just general strategies that you do before an auction, Jamie. Is there anything that you just set your mind to?
For this one, I purposely decided to wait And
you've done that before, if I recall.
Yeah, I mean, I made a big deal about it. I think it was 2 years ago where I said I was going to sit out the first two rounds of trying to bid on somebody. I did actually the same thing this time around, with the exception of trying to get kicker and defense with my first two bids, I believe, or first two nominations, excuse me. So, I like the way that it's worked out each of the two times that I've done it.
Heath, what was your strategy going in?
I wasn't going to bid $12 on Travis Kelce, was step one,
like I
did last year. And then I wasn't as intentional in my waiting as Jamie was, but I knew that there was going to be, I wanted to see the market get set before I started bidding on players.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were a couple guys that I bid on just to make sure they didn't go too cheap. But I kind of waited a little bit myself.
So you were kind of like that auction policeman to make sure that people weren't going to get any bargains. You were willing to bid on them, even if you didn't like them.
I don't think I got stuck with anybody either.
No.
I don't think there was anybody that I bid on that I didn't
I think
want
that's
to pay
one
what
of the
did.
Absolute worst things to do in an auction is to bid on players that you don't want just to drive up the price to make your prices for other players or a price that you think should be for a player.
I agree with that, except, I mean, we're sitting in that draft room, and I have the luxury of knowing that everyone is looking at Dave's, Heath's, or Jamie's auction values. And so if somebody's getting ready to go off the board for less than any of the three of us have them, I felt pretty safe in doing that.
I actually didn't look at my auction values at all. I mean, I know what they are in my head, roughly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't have anything in front of me.
Yeah, I looked at mine to a T. I made sure to know when a player was nominated, I'd look to see the value on that player and what I thought would be a fair price for him, and then I'd get interested in what the bidding would be.
Yeah. The one, I did try to send a message because I was sitting next to Chris Towers.
Of course.
And I knew Chris was going to make sure that I didn't get anyone for less than I had them listed for on the auction page. Like he was talking about, Heath needs to bid on this guy. He's got him listed higher. So one of the first players to come up was Jamal Charles. And I think I had him listed for $26, $27. And nobody else was bidding on him at like $22. Mm. And then Chris just started bumping me up. And so I had to let Chris have him for $25 just to send the message that I wasn't going to bid on every player up to their dollar
amount. It looked like he went for $24.
$24?
You do have him at $28.
Yeah,
Jamie's got him at 18, so pretty much right in the middle of that, maybe a little bit more toward the 28 mark than the 24. One of the things I love to do before going into auction is print out my tiers and get the players sorted by expected value just as far as projections go. So
right.
The best running backs go in the first tier, then the next best go in the second tier. And, you know, there's anywhere from 3 or 4 to 8 to when you get to later on in the tiers, you know, a dozen names in a group. And when those players start going off the board, you make a little note of what they go for. And when there's one player left in a given tier, you can bid on them knowing what other players in the tier went for. So you know what the right price should be. And you're getting the last one at that best tier available. You understand? So if
right.
the projection is 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns, and 3 of the 4 running backs went, and their average price was $25, you should figure to spend anywhere from $25, maybe even less if you're lucky, to get that last player. Jamie made the conscious decision to spend late. He waited a while. Heath, I don't remember exactly what you did, whether or not you spent early, but I know that I spent relatively early.
Yep.
And I know that Nick Costas spent ridiculously early. By the time we were through 33 nominations, he had already spent over $80.
He was having $100 so
budget.
Much fun.
It was also his first auction, so he was really enjoying the process. It's not like he got a bunch of bums with those players. He had Andrew Luck, Odell Beckham, Eddie Lacy. He spent $1 on Vance McDonald. There was one other player that he had. LeSean McCoy for $18. And the problem with doing that, you've got all these studs early on, but then you got to wait a long time before you can jump in and bid on another player. You have no chance at getting any other players when you have $82 left and 11 spots to fill.
Right.
You're going to have to be real patient and kind of start waiting for those dollar and
$2. You got to get lucky with your depth with this stuff. That's the thing. When you spend big early, because you're going to watch all those guys that you like, the sleepers you want to target, the mid-level guys that you think have a chance to break out, you're not going to get any of those guys.
An example of that is he spent $8 on Andrew Luck, which isn't terrible. I've got him at 7. Heath, you have Andrew Luck at 5. Jamie, you've got him at 11. So kind of right in between. I don't think it's a terrible price. And then he started watching other quarterbacks go for less and less and less. There were only 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks, 5 quarterbacks that went for $4 or more. Every other quarterback was $2 less. Let me give you the names of those quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Luck, Breeze, Russell Wilson,
and Carson Palmer went for $4.
I thought Breeze was one of the best. One of my biggest mistakes.
Yeah,
letting Towers have him for $4.
$4. Yeah. We'll get to that later. We've got all sorts of players that are good values and bad values. Do nominations matter? Who you nominate?
Yeah, nominate people you don't want.
I think you do that earlier in the draft.
Right, the first half. The second half.
You've got a certain nominating players you do want, and you have to keep track of what everybody's max bid is. You might have to bid $2 or $3 on a player just to make sure that any of the stragglers with $1 or $2 max bids can't get that player. You also want to be sure to get that player when you nominate at the best possible price so that no one else can match it. Obviously, you can't match it in an auction, but certainly exceed it. I really was conscious about trying to get a kicker and a defense out of the way early.
Yeah, me too.
One of my first nominations was Justin Tucker for $1.
Yep.
No one bid two. Justin Tucker was mine. A little later on in the draft, and just from my perspective, I'm saying this, Jamie nominated the Seahawks DST for $1. I thought to myself, why not? Made it $2. I got the Seahawks DST. I didn't have to think about it later on in the draft. And I didn't have to just throw a dart at one of the lower-end starting kickers or DSTs. Do you like doing that? Is that a way to spend your nominations early on in the draft to get that kicker spot taken care of?
I saw you guys do that. I heard Jamie talking about how much nicer it was late in the draft, not have to worry about those.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my last two players were my kicker and my defense for $1 each. I got the same kicker I get in every single draft we do, so I don't know that I care.
Who do you get?
Blair Walsh.
Okay.
I always take Blair Walsh in the last round.
I think he's good. Yeah. I think that's a fine. I know he's stunk. I know Vikings fans aren't happy with him, but I think he's good. There's a rule I like to give for advice that I didn't actually follow.
Awesome. I like
it's the 20-50 rule. I like to have 20% of my budget for the last 50% of the auction. And I was on my way doing that when Keenan Allen went up for bid, and Jamie and I got into a mini bidding war, and I ended up getting Keenan Allen on my team, and then the 20-50 rule went out the window. But yeah, 20% of your budget for the last half of the draft, that gets you a lot of good $2, $3, and $4 players instead of a lot of $1 players, which when you hear my team, you'll agree, kind of not the way to go. So let's take a look at our rosters. I'm going to start with Jamie. Jamie spent no more than $20 on any one single player, but does have a lot of players between $11 and $13. Let me run down the roster and the prices just of the starting lineup. The quarterback is Eli Manning for $2. Starting running backs are C.J. Anderson for $13, Carlos Hyde for $11. C.J. Anderson for $13, Carlos Hyde for $11. Receivers, Allen Robinson for $20, Brandon Cooks for $13. And we'll talk about Brandon Cooks a little later on and just how amazing of a bargain that was, especially how soon after Keenan Allen went for $15 did you get Brandon Cooks for $13? It was like one or two nominations later, I think.
I can tell you.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Just a phenomenal steal for Jamie. And I felt like a goofball for having.
Well, the thing was, we had Alshon Jeffrey, T.Y. Hilton, and Keenan Allen all go for $14.
$14, yeah.
Right. Or you got Allen for
15. I thought I got Allen for 15.
Okay, but you know what it was? Is I had him at 14. You bought him at the last second.
For 15.
And I think Keith was even saying it at the time. He goes, oh, all three guys went for 14. I just looked at it. Those guys were all in the same range for me. You know, so if I can get
you
one
win.
Cheaper.
Getting him at 13 right. was great. Antonio Gates is your tight end for $9. We will talk about that at the very end of this. Your flex is Eric Decker for $4.
Or Randall Cobb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got Randall Cobb, too, for $12. So, and the depth on your bench, a lot of great backup running backs that you got for $2 or $3. Here's an example of saving your money for the last part of the draft so you can get these guys. Rashad Jennings for $4. Christian Michael, $2. Tevin Coleman, $3. Devontae Booker, $3. Jerick McKinnon, $2. I went through ADP, CBS's ADP on your team. You don't have a consensus first-round pick on your roster. You've got one second-round pick in Allen Robinson. 2 threes, that's Cooks and C.J. Anderson. 2 fours, Carlos Hyde and Randall Cobb. And a 5, Eric Decker. But the thing I liked is every player on your team, save for the kicker and the defense, that's someone that you would take with a top 120 pick based on your non-PPR rankings.
There's three things that I regret in this draft. Obviously, everybody knows that I like Kobe Fleener and Dante Moncrief by this point. And so Heath made it a point to bid on or nominate Moncrief after I just finished getting into a back and forth with Will Brinson over Kobe Fleener.
And you didn't even bid on Moncrief, did you?
No.
Yeah.
No. Because at that point I had 4 receivers and I was...
Right.
Here's
Moncrief
what happened.
Went for $7, by the way.
Here's what happened. 75% of this auction, I love everything that I did. The last 25% of it, I didn't like the way that it finished for me. Because I should have gotten Fleener because ending... And I know you mentioned Gates at $9. I could have gotten Fleener for $8. Obviously, I like Fleener better than Gates. Gates was just, I'm done. This is my last player, last spot. I'm done. Let me get out of here. Mm-hmm. So... that was a mistake on my part. $2 for Eli Manning, $4 for Breeze. Again, that $9 at the end, I could have easily gone to $5 for Breeze just to get him.
Yep.
Or $6 or $7.
Right. You would never normally pay $9 for Antonio Gates. You had one spot left to fill on your team. You got to pick whichever tight end you wanted because you had the $9 bid and you just made it Antonio Gates. Gates, I would imagine a more fair price would be like $3 or less.
$2, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was another mistake. And then I won at the end of the auction. I knew I needed some bench running backs. This was after I think I'd gotten Devontae Booker to handcuff to Anderson and Christian Michael. And so I saw Rashad Jennings and Amir Abdullah, and I said, I'm going to get these two guys. So Jennings, I made a conscious effort to get. I got him. Abdullah, I pulled out of the bid. What did he go for, $4 or $5? I don't know what it was.
I believe it was $5.
Okay, $5.
It might have even been more. Here, I got it right in front of me. $6.
Okay, that's probably why. That's probably why I backed out of it.
Yeah, I would.
Again, but here's the thing. I didn't want Tevin Coleman for $3. I would have taken Tevin Coleman for $1 or $2. Take that $12 that I spent on Tevin Coleman and Antonio Gates. I could have allocated that to Abdullah, Fleener, and Breeze. I like that team a hell of a lot better than what I have right now. And I love this team. But obviously, getting Abdullah as my essentially fourth running back as opposed to Tevin Coleman, I like that better. Getting the upgraded tight end and the upgraded quarterback.
It's definitely a good, balanced team. With the running back depth that I know you crave, getting those lottery tickets, I'm sure at least one of them will work out for you in the league this year. Let's move on to Heath's team. Heath spent a little bit more on his top player. That was Adrian Peterson for $25. Again, here's his roster. I'll run it down for you. Quarterback Matthew Stafford for $2. Adrian Peterson, $25. Jeremy Hill is your number two running back for $8. Your receivers, Demaryius Thomas for $15. Alshon Jeffrey for $14. Travis Kelce for $5. Your flex, as of now, Jeremy Maclin for $5. And then your bench, you've got Tyler Lockett for $8, John Brown for $5, so good wide receiver depth. Your running backs, Frank Gore for $4, Danny Woodhead for $3, Charles Sims for $2, Isaiah Crowell for $2. AP cost you the most, $25. Only two other players were more than $8. And again, based on CBS ADP, Adrian Peterson, your only first rounder, no second rounders, one third rounder in Alshon, one fourth rounder in Demaryius, 2 5th rounders in Maclin and Jeremy Hill, 1 6th rounder in Travis Kelce. But here's the thing, and these are the two biggest selling points on why I think you did great, Heath. You have 4 7th round picks: Brown, Woodhead, Gore, Lockett. And I think a lot of us would take those players ahead of round 7 based on the ADP. Every player on your team you would take with a top 101 pick based on your rankings, except for Matthew Stafford.
That was the thing I told. I came in this morning and I was talking to our boss, Jeff Tobin, about our auction. He really liked his team. Everybody liked their team. And I said, you know, I never felt like I was picking players that I would pick at the end of the draft. Mm-hmm. In fact, I ran out of roster spots. Jamie nominated McKinnon, and I could have gone and got McKinnon. I had plenty of money. I mean, you said I was in a similar situation as Jamie. I spent $8 on Tyler Lockett just because
wanted him.
There was nothing else to spend money on as my last roster spot. I could have got McKinnon, but I already had Gore, Woodhead, Sims, Isaiah Crowell, and I'd rather have all four of those guys as a backup if AP goes down than I would McKinnon.
The funny thing is, though, is I think people may get the wrong perception, and I probably did when I said it in the room yesterday when you took Jeremy Hill, because you still like Jeremy Hill, you just like Geo better.
Right.
The funny one to me, though, was Maclin, because you don't really like Jeremy Maclin.
No, but he went for $5.
Right.
I think that's fair.
I just felt like, and I don't know what the other wide receivers that went for $5 were, but I think even where I have him ranked, that's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, like, right. I think
we
I
got, all have him for $6 or more.
I think I got Decker for $4, but it was after the fact.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But and you're certainly happy with your team, and you've got to love the fact that all those players are in your top 101.
Oh yeah,
which basically means everybody on your team is a round 9 pick or better, except for Stafford. But you're totally comfortable with Stafford being your quarterback. I get that. Okay. My team.
Typical Dave Richard team. If I ever seen a Dave Richard
really?
Team,
you
this
think
is it.
This is it?
No, this is the exact opposite of your teams.
Well, no. this is something that I would like to try to accomplish. It's unique to auctions than drafts. Is I wanted to try and get 2 first-round picks and then just go from there. So when David Johnson went on the board, I got the highest bid at 28. No one bid higher than that. I would not have gone higher than that. I think he's worth $28. I got him on my team. My running backs, David Johnson for 28, Justin Forsett for 2. You'll understand why in a second. My receivers and my flex, Dez for 26, T.Y. Hilton for 14, Keenan Allen for 15. So like Nick Kostos, just not as fast, I spent a big chunk of money on a core players, David Johnson and 3 receivers, Dez, Hilton, and Keenan Allen. And it left the rest of my team at $4 or less. Delanie Walker for $4 was my fifth highest or fifth most expensive player. Everybody else was $2 or less. I had one, based on ADP, only one player, a first-round pick, and that's David Johnson, but I would still consider Dez a first-round pick. In our ADP, he's a second-round pick. I have two third-round picks in Keenan Allen and T.Y. Hilton, one fifth-round pick in Delanie Walker, one sixth-round pick in Tom Brady. I don't know if I would draft Tom Brady in round six. Actually, I do know the answer is no. Every other player on my team, because I blew my money so much, has an ADP of over 100, and seven players on my team are ranked past 100th overall in my rankings. Running down the team, David Johnson and Justin Forsett are my running backs. I already told you about my receivers and the flex and the tight end. The bench, Deion Lewis for a buck, very late in the draft, threw a flyer on him. Derek Carr is a buck to get with Tom Brady, so I spent $3 on two quarterbacks. Theo Riddick, Sammy Coates, Buck Allen, Wendell Smallwood, all for a dollar. Carve me up, guys.
It's just not a typical team for you.
No.
The way you like to approach things.
I'll tell you where it went haywire was the Keenan Allen net bid. Because at that point, I was planning on going with my 20-50 rule, and then I would have had a lot more money to spend over my bench and my flex, and certainly my number two running back spot. But I thought $15 on Keenan Allen, even in a non-PPR, was worth it.
I'm sorry. The thing I think that you regret, though, is you see Macklin for $5, and you're not a Decker guy, but Decker for $4.
Oh, there's no question.
You see what
but
John Brown...
But I do think there's a difference between Keenan Allen and those guys. It would be more of a matter of looking and trying to find somebody maybe in between. Like
but
Kelvin Benjamin
but it's,
for 10.
It's the combination, though, of Macklin at 5 and then what you do at your second running
back. Right, sure, because then I'd have 10 more bucks to spend on
I think
a lot of depth.
The bigger thing is if you go get two $25-plus players, you can do that. But you're going to have to be okay with, I'm going to miss out on some value.
Right.
And I'm not going to start, like you, because you could have loaded up with the guys in the $5, $8, $10 range, I think, and really been fine. And you might still be fine.
It's interesting, because just comparing it to Nick's roster,
Nick and I might make a trade.
Nick has a similar situation, just some differences. Like your tight end is clearly better than his. He has Vance McDonald, you have Delanie Walker. Your flex is Keenan Allen, his is Corey Coleman. But his LeSean McCoy versus your Justin Forsett is a lot better.
Right. So he got a lot of running backs and not a lot of receivers.
And I would say his quarterback situation, at least going into the season, is better with Luck versus
Yeah,
Brady.
Well, obviously.
Sure.
There's no question. We might make a trade where it's Keenan Allen for LeSean McCoy. So if I did that, then LeSean McCoy would be my number two running back.
That
but
trade
then
makes
my
zero
flex.
Sense for him.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily know if it makes a lot of sense for me. Instead of being weak at running back, my number two running back, I'd be weak at flex, so I don't know if that necessarily helps me.
Yeah, if I were both you guys, I'd stay where you were.
Yeah, I'm going to have fun with this. All right, so some best buys in the auction, and we're going to go through this very quickly. Drew Brees, we mentioned that he went for $4. I thought that was one of the best steals of the draft. Brandon Cooks was amazing for $13. Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins, Alshon Jeffery, Demaryius Thomas, Keenan Allen, they all went for more. Heath, you got John Brown for $5. I thought that was a steal. Is Julian Edelman at $4 a steal?
It is the standard league.
I would say that's fair.
Yeah.
I would say Decker at $4 is a good buy because of what he's been able to do.
Maybe
Brady
some of
for $2 is a good buy.
Yeah. Thank you. The top three wide receivers, by the way. Antonio Brown, 34. Odell Beckham, 33. Julio Jones, 31. The next three best receivers are A.J. Green, Dez Bryant, DeAndre Hopkins. Green went for 25, not to Jamie. Dez and DeAndre Hopkins went for $26.
He was a guy that I bid on, but it was at the point where I just wasn't going to go past a certain number. I just wanted to get a very balanced roster and see how it went.
I was just going to move on. I was going to say one of the best buys also was Jordan Reed for $7, especially when Greg Olsen went for $13. And let's talk about some of the worst buys because I think Greg Olsen at $13 is a little crazy. But it might not be as crazy as Rob Gronkowski going for $30, the fifth most expensive player in the auction. What would you guys pay for Gronk in a non-PPR?
I don't know that. I mean, depending on how you're building your team, I don't know that I hate that.
I absolutely hate it. I think it's a total waste.
It depends on how you value it, though. If you value him as being that much better than everybody at that position, which he has been for the majority of his career, and you want to just go in all that. Look, it's knowing the people you're auctioning with and drafting with. I knew Nick was going to go crazy on this money because he's a first-time guy in an auction, and he's an excitable person. I had a feeling
you
Mike
think
Kizer.
Nick's excitable?
I had a feeling Mike Kizer was going to blow his money early because that's typically what he does. I've done enough auctions with Scott White to know that he's going to go running back crazy and then try and find bargains at wide receiver. So I knew the people that I'm doing this with. I know the way you think. So it's very easy when you know the crowd.
Yeah, sure.
And I know I was sitting next to Joe Polito, who's our social media producer. I know the way he does. Like, he's going to, at some point, get a little overzealous with some guys. He did that with D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah. And he was definitely one of the worst buys, too.
Grant Curtin, who's another guy that's a little excitable. I figured he was going to spend his money early. He did.
Yep. Aaron Rodgers went for 17. That was more than all but 9 wide receivers. I think that's way too much for any quarterback. Carson Palmer went for $4. We mentioned that. D'Angelo Williams, $7 to Joe Polito.
Yes.
And he does not have Le'Veon Bell.
No. But he got a little bit of this is the fun thing about auctions, because there's a lot more chatter going on. So he's sitting next to Grant, who's the Le'Veon Bell owner, mm-hmm. and they're going back and forth, sitting next to each other, and Grant is kind of, you know, trying to make sense of why Joe is going a little bit overboard with D'Angelo Williams, and he said, I just didn't want you to get D'Angelo Williams. You know, so that's just the way it played itself out.
What would you pay for D'Angelo if you already got Le'Veon Bell in an auction? How high would you go?
I'll just give you an example. So obviously the money that I had at the time, I had a lot of it. I just put Devontae Booker in at $3 because I was going to go to $5 right. as the C.J. Anderson owner. Mm-hmm. But I figured, let me start at $3 and just see if that just squashes it right there. And it happened. So if I was Le'Veon Bell owner, I probably would have started at $4 and stopped at $6.
Okay. Right. And it's thinking that next step ahead.
Yes.
Like, are you willing to go to that next
bit? You can't say I'm going to go $5 because somebody goes $5.
Right. Then you can't. Right. And if you are willing to go $5, maybe you just nominate for $5. And then if it goes for $6, then you let them go.
I would always go $2 under, thinking I'm going to stop on the next bid
number. Right. All right. I'm going to name some of the other worst buys. You guys stop me if you want to comment. Giovanni Bernard for $8. That's the same as Jeremy Hill. DeMarco Murray for $13.
Stop there.
All right. I'll stop.
Do you?
No, I thought
you pay the same for both.
Which would you rather have? From those two, Hill or Gio?
In this league, I'd rather have Hill just because of the touchdown.
Right.
Touchdown.
Yeah, I think he's worth the $8, not Gio. DeMarco for 13.
But I think it's like an 8-6.
Fair. DeMarco for 13. I like DeMarco Murray. I think 13 is too much for him, especially when Carlos Hyde went for 11. I think those guys should be about the same. Derrick Henry only went for 4. I think that's decent value, especially when DeMarco's going for 13.
He was another guy, a minor regret that I didn't try and pick up.
Demaryius went for 15. Emmanuel Sanders went for 5. I feel like both those guys were overpriced.
Yeah, I took Demaryius, and that was before the $13, $14 wide receiver run.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hate it. I mean, I think if
it's $1 more than maybe you'd like to spend.
Right.
Jarvis Landry went for $10. Non-PPR league.
That seems a little high.
We do play in South Florida. There's a couple of Dolphins fans in the building.
I mean, look, he was a top 20 guy last year, and the way that Devontae Parker's not showing up.
$10. Right $10, Jamie.
It's maybe $1 or $2 too high.
He's not twice as good as Jeremy.
He's the $12 Travis Kelce of our auction. $10 Jarvis Landry. Kevin White for $4. We mentioned Olsen. Steven Gostkowski went for $3. Let's just all laugh.
Well, there's a reason.
I don't want to say.
He wasn't being serious.
I don't think he was serious.
He wasn't being serious.
All right. Interesting buys. We'll wrap it on this. Le'Veon Bell for $25. James White for $2.
So the Steelers running backs.
For $4.
Steelers running backs went for $32.
Right, which is what a number one. That would have been the second most expensive running back. Because Gurley went for $33. No other running back went for more than $28.
If you're banking on that duo being top three, that's worth it.
But it didn't go to the same owner.
Exactly.
Chris Ivory, $4. TJ Yeldon, $3. You want to talk about the Patriots again? Or
that's a good backfield to buy.
Yeah.
What'd James White for go? $2?
$2, and LeGarrette was $4. Non-PPR.
Fine.
They might even flip-flop in a PPR. Probably not. I don't know if Blunt's going for $2 anywhere.
What the Dolphins running backs go for?
$2 each.
Okay, fair. It's a good buy.
Ravens running backs. Kenneth Dixon, $3, not to me. Justin Forsett, $2 to me. Buck Allen and Terrence West, $1 each.
You got the better buy of the
group. I think so. Devontae Parker went for $5, and his nomination came very late in the auction.
It's funny because Joe Polito, to reference his team real quick, he went heavy on Gurley, $33. He was the guy that overspent on Olsen at $13. Brandon Marshall, $17, and Cam Newton at $14. So he's got basically a stud at each position. And then he was left with no number two running back because of he had D'Angelo early, but so I was done, and he's like, I don't know what to do at receiver. I'm like, I think he had like $10 left.
Yeah.
Make sure you get, I told him, make sure you get Parker and Crabtree, and he did. So I think that trio can get him by.
We're going to read a couple of emails to round out the podcast, but first, we can't wait to start playing daily fantasy football, and we're going to do it on FanDuel. Week 1 is almost here. Sign up on FanDuel.com. If you're a new user and you want 5 free entries, Go to FanDuel.com/CBS and sign up. That's FanDuel.com/CBS. And it's better than ever. FanDuel has beginner leagues. If you're just learning about FanDuel, they have new features to ensure a fair and level playing field. And we love FanDuel because on Sunday we get so into it. We're watching all the games. We're watching Red Zone, keeping track of our FanDuel lineups, getting really excited, and we win money. Contests start as just $1, but you can win a lot of money on FanDuel. So what are you waiting for exactly? If you're a new user, you've never played before, deposit today. You'll get 5 free entries to an NFL beginner contest. You'll get 1 free entry a week for 5 weeks in a row. Finish anywhere in the top half of those contests, you win money. Go to FanDuel.com/CBS for your 5 free entries. Void where prohibited. This is from Ross in Astoria, Queens. Hey, Tommy, Chucky, and Angelica. I have my auction draft this Sunday. I'm looking to get some wide receiver help. 10-team standard scoring league, $200 budget. And what I would normally tell people is you can look at our auction values, and they're based on $100. Double it for a $200 budget. He's trying to keep a budget of $80 for his top two receivers. Should he target a top receiver for $60 like Antonio, Julio, or Odell and pair them with a $20 player like Cobb, Floyd, or Moncrief? Or should I try and get two receivers in the $35 to $40 range? Evans, Hilton, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, Alshon Jeffrey.
I'd go get one elite player.
I would try and get one of the elite players, too.
Sure.
All right. Last one is from Nick in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Do-Ray-Egon, who is the last tight end in your rankings that you would feel comfortable going into the season with as your starter?
Dwayne Allen.
Same. He's my 13th ranked tight end.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we all agree on that.
And technically, he's my 12th tight end because Tyler Eifert's in there, and you can't start him in week one unless you want to get a zero. Gentlemen, it's been fun. Thank you very much. We'll be back on Wednesday for more fantasy football excitement here on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. For Jamie Eisenberg, Keith Cummings, I'm Dave Richard. Thanks for coming out. Have a great day.